interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
So who do I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Friday to you. And it is the TGIF June 28 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, kicking off live from Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love and... well, I guess we got three wise men here, at least two, and then me, the famous Glenn D, inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Let me introduce the other two to my immediate right. Director of Athletics for the UL Raging Cajuns, Dr. Brian Maggard, and, of course, the owner of Rufino's on the River, Ruffin Rodri. Guys, this is a beautiful thing.
That it is, and any Friday's a good Friday. If you can spend a little bit of time at Rufino's on your Friday afternoon, life is good.
Some of the first places I think you came when you came to Lafayette.
It was the first place. My first dining experience was
I think Billy did the same back room.
Yeah,
Billy did the same thing.
We set that up. And
by the way, did I tell you how good of a hire that was?
Thank you. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. So.
Yeah. I think that's the case with it.
I got lucky.
Oh, man.
And now Billy can take the golf cart from across the river.
That's right. Yeah. Right over here.
Come right here.
He's right here?
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's on this side.
Oh, yeah. He's right down.
He's right there.
He can walk. He can walk.
Yeah, no golf cart needed.
Yeah.
Could I? Well, maybe not me. Could you throw a baseball and hit his house from here?
No, okay. Man. It would hit the ground. I can't. That's why, you know, I my dad looked at me when I was about 12 years old and said, son, baseball is not for you. Come work with me. So I went to Morgan City and Doug Graves.
Ruffin, I'm betting you saw this news, but in case you didn't, I'm going to set it up. Then I'm going to start a little Q&A, actually. We'll have some fun with our guest, Dr. Brian Maggard. And as you well know, Brian, ADs, like head coaches, shoulder a lot of blame. They get all the credit. Today, I believe Acadiana is hailing you as the guy that's brought $2 and $4 beer to Cajun Field. Are you feeling the love?
We are feeling the love. Departmental-wide, it seems to be a very positive day. If I'd known it had this kind of reaction to provide cheap beer and cheap hot dogs to Cajun Nation, I'd
have got them in the game
a long time ago. But that's exactly right. You know, that's, we continue to always try to find ways to attract people to our venues. And you know, the disposable dollar is very valuable today. And so people have a lot of different ways to spend that, and we're just trying to eliminate all the reasons why you can't come to our events.
Ruffin, does this sound familiar? You and I have been talking about this?
Been talking about it, man. It's, you know, I can remember a couple of years ago. Actually, it was about 4 years ago. And I remember being at the first game I've been to in a while. When I was a kid, I used to go to Michael G.A.'s games all the time. And now, obviously, through the years. And then when we opened the restaurant, John Bordelon asked me to go to the AD suite, and I went tailgating before, and all my buddies, all these guys I just met, and it was tailgating, having fun, drinking beer, and I'm right. I mean, it's about 15, 20 minutes to go into the game, and I said, "You guys coming? Nah, we're just gonna hang out. You gonna need tickets? Nah, we got tickets." And they were just drinking beer outside, and I was like, I didn't understand. You know, I mean, let's get to the game, and there were empty seats and that kind of thing, and I think that's a part of it. It's, you know, we could sit out here. We just bought a case of beer from Albertsons for $13.95 or whatever. Mm-hmm. Let's just sit out here and watch it on TV.
And now that could be seven of them at Cajun Field. And by the way, not just isolated to football.
That's right. No, so all of our venues, football, soccer, volleyball, softball, baseball, will all have that menu pricing. And again, we want to have an affordable product. We want people to come out, have a great time, turn every home football game into a festival, but make it very affordable for families. We're going to have a great product on the field, and we want to have a great experience in the venue.
And have great service and make sure it's not too long a line so they can watch the – because sometimes we went to West Virginia. I think LSU was playing West Virginia back in the
2011.
This miracle season when they went undefeated. And I remember because Tommy Hodson was with me, and the line, they had one beer stand. Out of for the half of the stadium.
That's why they're burning couches out there.
In West Virginia.
It was the line was so long. It was crazy. So you get the service in, and I mean they're going to want to go back and watch the game. Yeah, so you want them in the seats.
Yeah.
You want them yelling, and and creating the energy.
So it's a Friday. We're having fun, and we're going to have a lot of it with this conversation. But I do have to get one serious note in. Recent heart attack Sunday night for head baseball coach Tony Robichaud. I know that your department put out a release today. I'm not going to ask you to expound on it, but for our listeners, could you at least kind of express that sentiment, what's going on?
Yeah, so, you know, Coach and his family headed over to Ochsner's in New Orleans, and, you know, the primary reason for that was just to ensure that he had the highest level of care to make continued progress, you know, with his recovery and to do any follow-up procedures if necessary, right? I know the doctors over there are extremely optimistic, just like they were here, and so we just hope and pray for a quick and healthy recovery for Coach. And but he's got good people around him and his family, and certainly Cajun Nation, I know, is constantly concerned, but rightfully so, because he's a great man, has done so much for this community. So it's just a situation where we got to get him back on his feet, but we're going to let him take his time, no rush, and we look forward to getting Coach Rowe back in Lafayette.
I'll let both of you speak to this. Ruffin, you first. What does that man, Tony Robichaud, mean, not just to UL baseball, UL athletics, but the Lafayette community?
Oh, man, just having a last name that ends with X and being a head coach for the Cajuns and going to Omaha and you know, just all the great things he's done, the players he's put in the major leagues, just the, you know, the home runs that his players have hit, you know, just the bashers. It's fun to watch. I mean, that's not much more baseball that's fun to watch than watching that, and especially with the new stadium. Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that beautiful?
Oh,
it's a minor league ballpark.
That's
beautiful.
Better than many have been to.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
As nice as I've ever seen.
It's pretty first class.
Yeah. Yeah, and to add to that, you know, I know Tony prides himself, rightfully so. I mean, he's a developer of young men first, and then he coaches baseball second. And you can see that in his teams. Those guys always go on, have successful careers in many different fields, some of them in professional baseball, like Ruffin mentioned. But I know at the core of everything he does, he wants to make sure these guys develop into young men who will be good husbands and good fathers down the road.
Yeah, his faith is infectious. Just listening to him, he always thinks God, he always thinks his family, he's his first class.
Yep. I know he's been in the process, and I don't think this is a secret, of writing a book. I'm sure that it'll have a few more chapters to it now, and Cajun fans are probably hoping that on the other side of that is a return to all kinds of postseason prominence and glory to fill that Teague Moore Field of Russo Park for postseason play.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're going to get things back on track. Prior to his incident, you know, he and I spent a couple afternoons together the week before and had some really good conversations just on, you know, what he needed to do, his staff. And, you know, my job as the position of coaches to have the things they need to be successful and correct things that need to be corrected. So I know that's certainly, you know, I always tell people, nobody dislikes losing more than the coaches and the student athletes based on the amount of time they put into it. I know fans take it hard. I take it hard. But there are no two groups that dislike losing more than the coaches and the athletes.
And with the parity in college baseball, look at what Michigan did this year.
Yeah.
I mean, some people didn't think they should be in a tournament. Florida State either, and they both made it to the College World Series. You know, you never know what pitcher's going to step up, who's going to – I mean, look at the freshman from Vanderbilt. Man, have you seen a performance like that from anybody before? I mean, that's
– dynamite on that stage.
I mean, he's – wow. Can't wait to watch him next year.
Having fun at Ruffino's on the River. We got some more time to go, even in this segment. Joined by Dr. Brian Maggard and Ruffin Rodri. And Dr. Maggard, this guy and I talk a lot about the opener in New Orleans, taking on Mississippi State. Give our listeners a little bit of a feel. How did that game come to pass, and are you looking for more opportunities like these kickoff classics?
You know, I inherited this particular series. My predecessor had set up what was deemed a home and home with Mississippi State. We would go there last year, and they would come home to UL in New Orleans. So it's our home game, and just a situation that I think hopefully gets our fan base really excited. Great way to kick off the season with an 11 o'clock kick, maybe one of the, if not the first football game to kick off on national television on ESPNU. So really need Cajun Nation to step up and show up. We really do. We need to treat this like a bowl game, 40,000 plus people there. And because I know Mississippi State will bring a contingent, and their primary folks will come from that Gulfport area, Jackson, Mississippi.
Damn cowbells.
Cowbells, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, maybe if it's our home game, maybe we can limit the the
good thing
makers.
Is Hud's not there, right? He went to
that's
Austin,
right.
Austin
that's
Peay.
Right.
Okay, good.
That's right. But no, anyway, very excited for that opportunity, a national stage, kick off the season against a very, very good opponent. And but I like what we're all seeing and what Coach Napier is getting ready to do in year two.
Well, how do you, I guess, weigh the pros and cons of conceding a home game to get an opportunity like this? The branding on national television, that part, hey, you can't beat that.
It's really good. And what I like about this season is we can say that we have 7 games in the state of Louisiana, 6 at home. And so anytime you can get your 6 home games, if you get the chance to do that 7th over New Orleans or someplace like that in the state, that's a slam dunk.
Ruff, and do Cajun fans have it in them to hold out for the post-game tailgate and party and hopefully not hear a lot of cowbells on Bourbon Street after the game?
Yeah, you know, the thing is you want to think that Mississippi State will be overconfident. We're in the SEC. They're in the Southland. The whole deal, the line will probably be in a couple of touchdowns or whatever.
They're replacing a lot. Mississippi State, we know that.
Well, that's what they think because what was the record last year?
Theirs?
No, ours.
We were ultimately 7-7.
7-7. So they're going to look at that. They're going to take things into effect. The only problem is Dan Mullen's very aware of Billy. You know, I mean, most of the guys in the SEC know Billy from.
Remember, we shipped him out. Dan's over in Gainesville now. So
Dan,
they've Joe Moorhead.
Moorhead. Yeah. But they're all aware of Billy and what he's done, what he did at Alabama, what he did in Arizona, and what he's doing here. So hopefully they'll come in overconfident. No, I think they will anyway because they're in the SEC. That's just the mentality of guys in the SEC.
Early start, week one. I think a lot of factors that go in the Cajuns' direction as far as the intangibles.
Right. We just need to show up, be competitive. Ideally, get an upset. I mean, there's no doubt we'll be the underdog in that game. But if we can be competitive, get an upset, then get Cajun Field packed for that September 7th game against Liberty, that's what we need.
Another big topic I wanted to touch on, UConn. Very overtly paying its way to move from the AAC back into the Big East, a huge topic, and locally it stirred a lot of questions, again, about UL. I guess I'd ask you, how do you view the present and future of the Cajuns Conference affiliation?
Well, I think, first of all, any team who aspires to move up conference has to make sure they're relevant in that national conversation. And the reality of it is we got more to do before we become, that relevant. But that doesn't mean you don't, continue to watch the landscape and get a feel for, what's taking shape out there. We do know we have pretty good reason to believe that I think the AAC is going to sit tight, with 11 teams right now.
Okay.
The talk initially was that they were going to recruit Army as a football-only member. But my understanding is that may not happen, and they may be satisfied right now with splitting that new TV contract 11 ways versus 12 ways.
Yeah.
I had a number, and shame on me, I can't find it on my iPhone. We can't remember things. Our phones forget things. Sorry, my apologies. But a report came out that UConn was spending X amount, or they reported X amount in the 2018 mm-hmm. fiscal yep. year for travel. I think, and shame on me if I'm wrong, it was 7-point-something million.
Yeah, that sounded about right, yeah.
Is that, I didn't have a frame of reference. Is that number on par for someone in that conference?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, that American Athletic Conference is spread out all over. There's no geographic rationalization with that.
They're going to Tulane.
So when you have to load up your soccer team and fly from Connecticut to Denton, Texas, better yet, to El Paso, Texas, yeah. to UTEP, that's a long, I guess that's Conference USA, but at least to Denton, Texas, yep. you're probably looking at a $50,000 trip right there just to move your soccer
wow.
team, and that's a program that's not generating any revenue.
Jet fuel's expensive.
Very, very.
I'm going to take your word on that. So compared to what, I wasn't sure, but you're telling me that sounds about right.
And it could be. Yeah. It's you'd have to look at all the numbers. I talked to a colleague in that conference, and he was telling me even with that new TV money, he's still looking at running a deficit,
wow.
in their program. So it's going to be very interesting moving forward how this business model of college athletics, whether it's going to be sustainable or not. And I think we really all need to start focusing on more regional play. It's good for the budget. It's good for the fan bases. The fact that, we're not playing La Tech and Rice and Memphis and Houston and Southern Miss regularly is just beyond my comprehension. But at some point, I think the budgets are going to force us to do that.
Yeah.
But I think it's also going to be a lot better for the fan base. That's an easy drive to get over to Hattiesburg or up to Ruston or, over to Houston, for games. And those fans would travel, our fans would travel, and I think it would just be good for the industry.
Ruffin, I've peppered him with everything I got. What you want to hit him with?
Everything is good. He's right. I mean, the thing is, you know, we got a business-minded president in office, and the economy's flying right now. So everything's going up. Things are expensive, man. I was listening to the athletic director at UNO yesterday, mm-hmm. I think it was Matthew in Baton Rouge. And he said that to bring football back, he would have to get I forgot how many million.
Oh, it'd be several.
20, 25. I mean, it was something some crazy number he threw out just to start to think about football. That's how much it costs.
I mean, when you think about just setting up the budget for a sport like that, 85 full scholarships, the facility, the salaries and benefits for staffing, equipment, all that kind of stuff.
I want to say travel budget. We'd have to have some big donor come in and give us 30, 35 million.
And that's probably not even relative to facilities, where you're playing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Securing that, upgrading that.
That's right.
I mean,
It's not cheap.
It blows my mind in my hometown, in Thibodaux, Nichols State, with their how they still have, and they got great coaching, Coach Rebo. We love him, but man, they don't bring in that much money, and it's just you would think that how do they continue? But it's donors, and you know you have to get the big donors.
Or 12.5 million, 16-ounce domestic canned beers bought at Cajun Field. They'll get you that.
Absolutely,
25 million.
One of those. You sell a couple of those, and you're set. That's right.
I know that you've got a big event tonight. Please tell our listeners about it. You've got to jet out. Hopefully no fuel needed, but tell them where you're heading.
It's all good. We are heading up to Evangeline Downs in Opelousas for a coaches caravan. We'll have a number of our head coaches and assistant coaches there tonight and members of our administration. We're thinking, you know, upwards of 100-plus people will show up. Should be a good time. We're going to offer some food, beverage, and allow people to bet a little money on horse races. But, we did this last year for the first time. It was a huge success for us. Ben, I know you came up for it. Probably one of our more successful events because our people can get to that. Yeah. A lot of our coaches can get to it this time of year. And it's guaranteed to be a good time tonight.
So come on up.
Yeah, 5:30 when the races start. But our program will start more between that 6:30 window. And that's when, you know, it'll be a small program because this is more about mixing and mingling and just having a good time and not worrying about any type of agenda.
There we go. At Evangeline Downs.
I've been there when I was in high school. And last high school football game I ever played was in the Bayou Bowl against Opelousas High School. Thibodaux versus Opelousas, and we won, I think. I think we won. But
it's been enough years.
You all time. It's 1985.
It's all a blur now.
That's the last time I think I've been to Opelousas, except to buy our golf cart. Yeah. Bought it from an Opelousas place.
So tell me about Mama's Fried Chicken in Opelousas. I hear good things about Mama's Fried Chicken.
I drove by it several times on Landry Street today. I've had it a number of times.
I've got to get up there.
Right now. It sounds like a
my suggestion to you, make it the final meal of the day that you're having it on.
There you go.
That's my weakness, man.
Me too. I love fried chicken. But, it'll be a good time tonight. And they have a really, really nice facility up there. I was very impressed and good operation. So, yeah, it'll be good. We need Cajun Nation to show up. There's limited cost, you know, getting there. And then a little bit of gas money and whatever you want to bet on the horses.
I'm getting the producer tap on the shoulder. We'll hit a quick break. Dr. Brian Maggard, thank you for coming out and doing this.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
We'll be right back in. Ruffin's sticking around, so don't you go anywhere. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before.
Cork. Now the tape.
Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
How about that? The perfect way to start a TGIF B2BS, Bumper to Bumper Sports Show, live at Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love right back in with Ruffin Rodrigue. Yeah, we can go long. Certainly, when we have Dr. Brian Maggard, that'll leave us short for this segment. That was a lot of fun, Ruffin.
Oh, that was great. Brian, you know, what a great hire. I mean, the whole community should be excited about having Brian, you know, and look at the hire he made with Billy and Rob Sale and all the guys coming in with this football. I haven't sensed this kind of hype and excitement for Cajun football, you know.
Since HUD first arrived.
HUD. Second season and on.
I'm going to give you an underrated hire that he was forced to make with everything that happened with softball. And this was right when Maggard first got here. He and his staff had to pick, okay, what are we going to do here? Yeah. And you got players, All-American players that are leaving and going to Oregon and all these exotic places. And they bring in Jerry Glasgow. They don't lose a game in the Sun Belt. They don't lose a game in the Sun Belt Conference Tournament. I mean, they've been top 15 in the country. That program kept on rolling. So pretty good track record so far.
Yeah. No, he's I like his sharpness and he's passionate about the community. And he's, you know, I remember the first night he got here, he was a little just excited, but, you know, just starting to meet people and all that. And man, now it's he's become a part of the community. You know, like I said, Coach Billy lives right two houses or three houses down right here in River Ranch. And he gets to come by and hang out and eat Sunday brunch with his kids. And it's a lot of fun.
You know what's funny? Before we hit this break, I've tried to put myself in those shoes before and wonder, all right, if I'm from, doesn't matter, outside of Louisiana, and I get off a plane, and the very first place somebody brings me is Rufino's on the River, and I said, this is what the whole town's like? This could be great, man. Are you kidding me? I've tried to think about that before, and even the restaurant in Baton Rouge, this is what the experience is going to be like?
Yeah, it is. This, you know, when we came here, I still give credit to Jamie and Catherine Howard for begging me through the years to open a restaurant here, and you know, nothing really looked good until I came here on the River and looked at it. I was like, this is a no-brainer. I think Kushan actually built this building for us, and needless to say, here we are, and it's just Rufino's on the River. It's become a staple, and I let the managers do what they do because they're so good. They're much better than I ever was, and I like being a customer here.
Yeah,
I just like hanging out, seeing my friends, and goofing off.
Same with me. And as we head into a break, I guess I should give our listeners the drop on who's coming to join us today. Already we've had Dr. Brian Maggard, Athletics Director of UL. At 5:05, you're going to like this guy, Jake Madison, formerly of Bourbon Street Shots. Now he works for Locked On Pels Podcasting, Pelicans guru.
Yeah.
So we'll get the latest on what they're doing in New Orleans. 5:05.
Which I know a lot about now because my son is
a diehard.
NBA diehard. Yeah. So I got to keep up with all of it.
And I'll introduce you to another one as well. He'll be with us live at 5:30. Darren Domang with Lafayette Roofing. Those guys are doing some pretty cool things within the community leading into July 4th. We'll talk about that at 5:30. So don't go anywhere. Bumper to Bumper Sports coming right back in. Ben and Ruffin taking you home on 103.7 The Game.
Football season can't come fast enough.
No.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
You little...
Luckily, you have Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love to help get you by.
Whew. High school, man.
We found the hot button?
Oh, man. I can remember riding to my buddy's, I don't know, his little car in Thibodeau, and I was 16 years old, and cranked this thing up, man, in Thibodeau. Whew.
Bringing back memories.
Oh, man.
Some of them we'll share on the air, and some we may not. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back into Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. I'm going to lob you a softball here on the sport of baseball. We learned last night, Alex Bregman for the Houston Astros, DJ LeMahieu, first year with the New York Yankees, all-stars. How great is that?
Yeah. DJ's the one that was the biggest surprise to me. They told me how good his potential was, but, man, he's just been consistently just unbelievable. You know, we all knew that Austin Nola
or Aaron.
Aaron, we all knew Aaron was the you know, it was going to be in the majors within months. You know, Alex Lang just got moved up to Double A.
That's right.
I think he had his second start last night. You know, they're all just crushing the ball. You know, it's just so it's a testament to recruiting and, you know, not over pitching guys and doing the right thing and having fun.
With LeMahieu, what I'm always intrigued by, had success with Colorado and goes over in free agency offseason to the New York Yankees. And you know the Yanks, Ruffin, they've been doing this for generations. They pay the most for the best players, and they're still doing that. And yet it's this LeMahieu move that's kept them afloat while they've been injured. So a lot of big money guys on that roster, but for the Bronx Bombers, he's been as valuable really as anybody.
You know, in major leagues, you got to have the right mindset. And to get through the minors, from when I – you take a guy like Blake Dean, who was playing basically the same time. Blake's the best hitter I've ever seen. One of the best – besides Todd Walker, probably the best hitter I've ever seen at LSU. I mean, he those two seasons he had,
yeah,
he was crushing the ball. It was – you know, Larson was had that 1 year. He had well, different players.
Eddie Furness.
And Eddie yeah. And that. And then, you know, Duplantis with his 4 years. And the list goes on, but – Blake Dean, for that short period, was just magical, the stuff he did. And he hated the minor leagues.
Blake?
Oh, could you know, he wanted to be a coach, and that's what he's doing now. He's the head coach of UNO. I think he was the youngest coach in the country. But he would tell me stories about just being in the organization, and just he just didn't like it. But a guy like DJ is a grinder. He's a, yeah. you know. You go through the tough times, and you get to the majors finally, and you the show's now big time. You
oh, yeah.
And you know, the best hotels, but the minors, you know, you stay at the Motel 6, and you – nothing anything wrong with Motel 6, but they stay at the –
They'll leave the lights on for you.
Yeah, the motels, not the hotels.
Oh, okay, that's on me. Well, look, you and I are, whether intentionally or not, stumbling onto the same wavelength here. It's funny that you mentioned Duplantis, and I know you're talking about Antoine Duplantis. In my preparation for today's show, I tried to line up a number of guests that were going to come in. I knew Dr. Brian Magger was coming in. I knew my guy Darren Delmank from Lafayette Roofing was coming in. But I did make a call yesterday to Mondo Duplantis and couldn't quite do it. He's in San Francisco. But he said, you know what, I'll be back in Lafayette before the summer's over. So in between his time at LSU and going to become a pro and then working out for Team Sweden, see if we can't get me, you, and Mondo Duplantis here at Rufino's on the River.
Yeah, because I got the chance to meet Antoine and his their older brother, who is very good. We're friends with a lot of the baseball players who come in my Baton Rouge restaurant in Rufino's Baton Rouge all the time. But Antoine, my favorite story, Antoine, his grandparents brought him in for dinner. And the night before, Coastal Carolina was eating in the restaurant.
Oh, wow.
The night before they went to play the Super Regional. But they got in like two nights before. And then I saw Antoine the next night before they played they started the series on Saturday. And I said, Antoine, I said, I'm just going to tell you one thing. I got to talk to the Coastal Carolina team last night, and I met them. They don't plan on losing.
They're not screwing around.
I hope y'all are ready for them. I hope you're not overlooking. Oh, yes, sir. We're not. I said, tell Coach Maneri that I said they're big, they're mean, and they're disciplined. Because all eyes were on me when I was talking. It was one of the most incredible things I've ever done. Speak to them, tell them some old stories, made them laugh, but they were intense. And I went, oh, man, these guys are – they didn't look like linebackers.
Yeah.
They were unbelievable, and they won the whole thing. They won the national championship.
Yeah, there was a string up until this year, three straight years, team that beat LSU won the College
yeah,
World Series.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of people thought Florida State would go on to do it again. What did you make out of the whole Michigan thing? And a team that plays the first 3 to 4 weeks of the season, they can't be at home because of the cold weather. That conference is, I mean, almost annually terrible at baseball. It was cool what they did. They didn't quite slam the door home, but pretty cool.
Well, obviously their pitching was fantastic because teams just couldn't score on them.
Yeah.
Their defense was unbelievable. I mean, that's how they got there. To go to UCLA and that – do they still have that little bitty stadium, UCLA?
Yep. I think it's Jackie Robinson Stadium, yeah, but it's not big, yeah.
No, it's tiny. It's like a high school stadium, and UCLA is good. And Michigan went in there and shut it. You know, they beat them good, and it was just like, whoa, it's a hot team, man. When you go, look at Florida State.
Yeah.
You know, we're up, LSU's up 4-0 in the first game, going into, what, 6 innings? You would think. And they hit a grand slam, really? I mean, that was just – that's still kind of – my dad was so upset. I think he's still angry at that.
It's the kind of thing, frankly, that used to happen for LSU all the time during the Gorilla Ball days. And, I mean, even during the Smoke Laval tenure, it feels very LSU-like. You know what? Nothing for the first 6-7 innings. Roar to life at Alec Box Stadium. It's weird to watch it happen to LSU.
The team that looks like LSU from the past is Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Vanderbilt has a swagger now. Remember LSU used to have that swagger? Vandy's got it.
Vandy's got that swagger. They, for my money, I don't know that they, not just the Gorilla Ball teams, but I'm not sure that Vandy has the 1-9 collective hitting lineups like some of those LSU teams did. But I'll tell you what they do have is a better collective pitching staff.
Oh,
LSU's had individual stars occasionally 2 in 1 year. Vandy's got an incredible
and they know how to pitch. And they know how to beat up on the pit. Look what they did in Michigan in the third game. Pitches started running out. Look what they did. That's what LSU's known for, is waiting for the bad pitchers to come up and they just tear them up. And that's where Vandy is. And I hate talking about Vandy. I know Jerry Vascacu, the president of Iberia Bank in Lafayette, is just gloating because he was an offensive lineman for Vanderbilt under Jerry DiNardo back
in
the day.
Did not know that.
Yeah. And
that's not his kid that I've been calling high school games
for
that's playing at Ascension Episcopal?
Yeah, that's him.
He's a heck of an athlete.
Yeah.
Jake, I believe.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Jerry was a great player. And Jerry DiNardo went to his wedding.
Wow.
And my wife and Jerry's wife were good friends from high school. And he said that Jerry came to his wedding. His wife's still talking about it because nobody was paying attention to her or the groom. Everybody was trying to get to meet Coach DiNardo. I thought it was funny.
So, all right, before we hit our final break of the hour, I'll get you to confirm a story that your buddy Gordy Rush told, I don't even know, Ruffin, who knows, 7-8 months ago on the show. He says that there was a foot race between he and Jerry DiNardo outside of your restaurant in Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
And it got a little bloody. It didn't get physical, but it got a little bloody. And that was right before Jerry was going on an interview.
Jerry DiNardo, we had DiNardo's Italian restaurant. I was a general manager before we changed the name. And he got fired and he changed the name to Ruffino's, and I took ownership. But the night before he was to leave for the XFL, he was going to meet Vince McMahon of the XFL in Birmingham. He was taking a flight early that morning. But the night before, he got all the managers and trainers to meet him at the restaurant for drinks. Well, drinks turned into more and more and more, and by the time we knew it, it was 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. We were outside in the parking lot. He and Gordy had some kind of thing inside, and they ended up betting that who could win a race, and they raced. And I tried to tell Jerry that Gordy was on the Olympic bobsled team.
Gordy's fast, man.
He made the Olympic bobsled team. He's that fast. Now, his hips-wise and turning, he was terrible. But Gordy can run fast straight ahead than any white boy you know. Well, obviously.
I'll throw down Sammy Martin. But
Sammy Martin.
We'll go there later. Yeah.
So Gordy takes off, and I see it right off the beginning. It's not even – and Jerry is trying to catch up. And Jerry's got his penny loafers on. And one of his penny loafers comes off, and he just starts tripping, and he goes head first into the concrete. And he breaks a rib and just scars up, blood everywhere. It just, you know, I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
But if anything,
this is before cell phones with video. Otherwise, I would have it on video still have it.
If anything would impress Vince McMahon, though, it could be that.
Yeah. That was.
And I took a forehead. I took a.
But yeah, he got.
Took some concrete to the dome last night, broke a rib.
He got up the next morning, got one of his buddies, a doctor, to give him a shot. Cortisone shot or whatever in his ribs. He took the flight, hung over and broken ribs, and passed the interview, got the head coaching job at Birmingham. And
that's amazing.
He was it Birmingham or Atlanta? I think he got the job at Birmingham and came to head coach and left.
So we've got confirmation. Gordy also contends, said, look, I would have won in any kind of, you know, shoe apparel that you would put me in against Jerry. But he said Jerry underestimated the fact that I had wingtips on. He said I had plenty of traction.
Yeah, he did. It was he beat him pretty bad. It was Jerry, but just watch Jerry just lunge over and go head first into the concrete at about 30 yards was, God, I wish I had video phone back then. That would have been just too good.
A reenactment just won't be good enough.
No, we'll never see that again.
Okay.
Although Gordy would still beat him as bad, but I don't know.
I don't think Jerry takes the race today.
Exactly. No, I don't think he would.
I don't think so at all. All right, we got to take our final break of the hour. We'll be right back in. Don't forget, 20 minutes from now, Jake Madison talking New Orleans Pelicans. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back to Ruffino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with.
Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Right back at it. Ben Love alongside Ruffin Rodriguez. hanging out at, it's his house, right? In Lafayette, Rafino's on the river. Glad that you're with us on 103.7 The Game. Not to sound corny, but I know I'm going to sound corny. The best part about coming here more sometimes than the food, the beverages, the view, the ambiance, you know, hanging out with you, just the people that you meet here. And even in the break, man, more people in the bar area. I always love the caliber of people you meet here. They're celebrating life. You say it all the time, but it's true.
Yeah, and the bartenders are fantastic. Managers just do a great job of handpicking the absolute best. I tell you, we got some great personalities at Rufino's. The first class wine knowledge is off the chain. They could pick the perfect bottle of wine for you, a glass of wine with your wonderful meal. The bread, you see the server right now mixing up the garlic and olive oil and Parmesan cheese with the freshly baked bread from Poupart's. I mean, can't even get much better than that.
You're going to the right place.
And it's free. The bread is, given or free or whatever you want to call it, complimentary.
Yeah.
But, I can make a meal on that alone. So it's a good little deal.
I've got another story for you. I meant to tell you this off the air, but, you know, what the hell. I won't say his name. People in town would know him, but I was in an office the other day. And this guy said, you know, recently I had to go and get a little skin work done. So I'm at the dermatologist. And, you know, they got to take my shirt off to do what they're doing on my shoulder and all this, that, and the other. And he said the whole time they're playing Frank Sinatra, right? Over the loudspeaker, it's Frank Sinatra. And he said, I went into a little bit of a, you know, not like a drugs-induced coma, right? They didn't have to pump him with anything, no, you know, nitrous oxide or anything. But he said, sure enough, after about 10 or 15 minutes, except for the whole shirt off part, I basically felt like I was at Rufino's on the river. And so when the woman walked back in, I half expected to get some cotton candy. That floored me. I had a good time with that.
Oh, I bet you did. Yeah, the music here is my playlist from years and years of just loving jazz standards and, you know, Frank Sinatra. And then when Michael Bublé came up big in the late 90s and early 2000s and you know, Dean Martin and Etta James, all the just the great, you know, Louis Armstrong, all the great crooners, and it's just a fun playlist, and it's great with food. You know, it's great for energy and all that. You don't want to hear pop music or anything like that. You want it fits the look of the restaurant. You have the beautiful river, the patio, and the white tablecloths, and that's what it's all about, is energy and experience.
Before we hit the end of the hour, shame on me, I do a sports talk radio show. We're in America. I haven't mentioned yet that the U.S. women's national team beat France 2-1. It was a match that was one love, then two love.
And US. Ben Love.
That's right. Ben Love commentating. France struck in about the 72nd minute to make it 2-1, and our ladies held on. Clint, I'm going to get you to give me a little helper in the studio there. I know they play Tuesday in what amounts to the semifinal of the Women's World Cup. Is it England, Clint, that they get next?
I believe so, yes. I believe that is an accurate statement. We got, I guess, I haven't seen the official bracket updated at this time, but that sounds about right for Tuesday against.
All right, well,
yeah, it is actually England and the U.S.
Yes.
2 o'clock.
He used the power.
I saw it on the TV just now.
And you were going to let Clint twist in the wind there.
Yeah.
Make it race Google.
And England looks like they're pretty good. They beat Norway 3-0, and somebody before that 2-0. So they haven't been scored on.
You've been following this.
Well, I just saw the bracket up. Just came up on the screen, so I was cheating a little bit.
However you pass the test is how you pass it, Robert.
Yeah, exactly.
So are you able to get into this at all, just because we really don't have much else in the way of sports this time of year?
Yeah, that's the tough part. This time of year is always everybody you see in the stores or whatever, they're like, man, I wish football would come. You know, I was at Baton Rouge restaurant in Rufino's this morning, and a couple of girls walk in, and they were like, man, we come in here just because we want to get a little taste of football. We wanted to start tomorrow. It's just, that's what everybody looks forward to, and it's just the anticipation. I think we're, 60-something days out? It's kind of funny. The other day, I was driving to Lafayette the other day, and Baton Rouge has an electric sign or whatever from Lamar, and they're counting down the days for purple and gold, and my number was on there, 68 days. I was like, look at that. I tried to get a shot of it, a picture, but couldn't get it. So I think we're probably 65 probably now or something like that. So that's several months away, 3 months away. So
you got to get that little Blue Dog Roderick with your number on it up there.
Yeah, I should. I maybe do it every month with a little Blue Dog. But, man, it's just it's hard because, you know, if the World Cup wasn't on, you wouldn't really have anything to watch. You would have, you know, college baseball's over. There's nothing. So, you know, there's just nothing.
What we're covering these days, apparently,
Major League, yeah,
is the – well, yeah, that's right. But the Manning Passing Academy, I'm old enough to have camped there when I was a Catholic in Baton Rouge, first 2 years it existed at Strawberry Field in Hammond.
Yeah.
Since they moved it down
– Thibodeau, yeah.
Yeah, your former stomping grounds. What do you make out of that event?
You know, they just had the lineman camp. I think it's the nation's largest lineman camp. And they always have – my dad always throws a party at his house for them. I didn't get to go. He said Kevin Mawai was there this year, who's going to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, NFL Hall of Fame in August.
Kevin's at Arizona State, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, his daughter's swimming there, I want to say. And, you know, the Manning Academy wasn't there when I was there, obviously. But Tommy Hodson, my old roommate, he's always a coach there. And I get to get some – I used to get a lot of scoop on him about – who's going to be the really good quarterbacks? Tommy has an incredible eye for quarterbacks, and I'm not sure if Howard's going there or you know a lot of those kids. But the biggest two stories I remember Tommy telling me from the Manning Academy was he came in the restaurant and he said, "Ruff, this one guy I saw is probably going to be the best quarterback in the NFL," and he told me about him. He said, "I don't have to look at his upper body. I can look at his feet,
okay,
and tell you who he is." And now he's starting for the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, wow. You know, I'll tell you that. When I was first going to this thing in its infancy, it really was just about developing the kids. The college players weren't coming and showing off and doing some of those things. But what I will tell you is this. I went 2 years, as I mentioned. I had three combined receivers coaches in those 2 years. One was Cooper Manning when they were first starting off. The other two, Mike Clayton while he was at LSU, and then Marvin Harrison. And
yeah.
So the pull that Peyton and Eli and Archie have had, I mean, this thing, it was starting to become a who's who then in the early odd decade. Where it is now is light years from there.
Yeah, it's they do a good job, man. I've been over there. It's work. If you remember, I mean, it's watching it. There's so many kids that come all over the country to do it. Let me tell you something. I grew up in Thibodeau. It's hot down there.
Yeah.
And you know they bought artificial turf for the Colonels, and they've given back to Nichols a lot.
Yeah.
So it's a great deal, and you know they have a good time, and you know you got the Johnny Manziel story of leaving to go to Bourbon Street, and you know
hot. He needed a libation.
The other story I remember Tommy telling me was from the Manning Academy was he said the most overhyped quarterback, this is back when he was in college, was Colin Kaepernick. He said, most inaccurate thrower he's ever seen. And that's what happened to him after his first year.
And then there was Brandon Harris. All right, I'm going to do this thing old school style, CD, as we're coming up on the hour break. Our final word of this hour is injured. Brad Peacock of the Astros announced today that he's going on the injured list. He's got right shoulder discomfort. Raymond Goudouin being called back up. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. We'll be right back in. Jake Madison, 505. Darren Domang with Lafayette Roofing, 530. Don't go anywhere. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 3 underway. I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from Rufino's on the River on 1037 The Game. Fired up to be here today. Just spent a quality hour with Ruff and Rodri, owner of this joint. And a guy who makes sure everybody gets to celebrate life when they visit. course, we spent the first quarter of that hour with Dr. Brian Maggard. I'll reflect a little more on that later in this hour. But we're going to start off our 5 o'clock stay with you with a tremendous guest as well. Let's take you out to New Orleans. Aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline, Jake Madison does a tremendous job daily podcasting with Locked On Pelicans podcast. How are you, Jake?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on today, Ben.
You know, it's a pleasure. I have not caught up with you on the program since the draft. I'll get your impressions. I mean, a little bit less on Zion, but more on the other three, the short-term and long-term impacts that they could make.
You know, they had a very good draft night. I like kind of almost all of the moves they made. Obviously, Zion's the crown jewel in all of this, and there's not much more to be said about him. But the guy they picked at 8, Jackson Hayes, I think is a center that can project out long-term to do well alongside Zion, a guy who can defend the rim really well, make Zion's transition to the NBA a little bit easier by allowing him to play the 4 spot instead of the 5, which just lets him be more of a disruptive presence on defense, something he's very good at over at Duke in his lone season there. Hayes is also very good in the pick and roll offensively. He sets hard screens. He's the best roll man probably coming into the NBA in this draft. I think using Zion as a ball handler and Hayes as the roll man creates for some really fun 4-5 pick and rolls. Nickeil Alexander-Walker is another guy that I think it just represents value at 17. One of the better shooters in the draft. He just kind of overall does things pretty well, kind of a jack of all trades. He can rebound well for a guard. He can handle the ball and be your primary ball handler in spurts if you need him to be. He can space the court as a 3-point shooter. Overall, just really what you're looking for on this roster, guys with versatility and athleticism. He should be able to guard spots 1 through 3. Then in the second round, when the Pelicans really weren't looking to get anybody, they drafted Didi Silva out of Brazil early on in the second round. Guy's basically going to still play outside the U.S. next year. Don't expect to see him here, but projects to be a pretty good shooter and guy that can guard a couple of positions. And frankly, in the second round, if you have one skill set, you're already a good, solid pick, and I think they found a guy with maybe 2. So overall, you've got to be pretty happy with the Pelicans' draft night.
Jake, when you combine the 4 players that were drafted overall, as you mentioned, one of them will stay outside of the U.S. for at least another season. But take those 4, tack them onto the 3 that came over from the Lakers, and then subtract out Anthony Davis. As things stand right now, how do you compare and contrast last year's Pelicans roster to this one?
You know, it's deeper. Obviously, Anthony Davis is going to be the best player out of any of the guys we've mentioned so far right now. But this team's deeper. You can kind of go now maybe 8 or 9 guys deep when you weren't able to do that last season. But more importantly than that, the long-term outlook for this team is significantly better. This was a team that really didn't have much youth on it, no future assets. You had Anthony Davis, and that was really it. And now you have a future, particularly with Zion Williamson and some of these young guys. And not only that, you have an even greater future because of all the assets you got back in the Anthony Davis trade. So overall, just the talent level is higher than it was when Anthony Davis was on the roster. The ceiling might be lower this coming year, but long term, I think you've got to be very happy with how this Pelicans team could project outward.
Always fun talking Pelicans. We got several more minutes to do so with our current guest, Jake Madison, Daily Podcast, Locked On Pelicans Podcasting. Which of those Lakers trio would you say is maybe the most able to be moved? Which one is the most shoppable in your opinion?
You know, it's a toss-up probably between Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram. I think Ball is the guy who's got 2 more years before he gets a bigger extension and you've got to pay him. He's a guy who is already an NBA caliber defender, almost elite in a way. He passes the ball really well, but he still has a number of things to work on, particularly his jump shooting, his aggressiveness. He's got to get to the free throw line more often. He's got to make his free throws once he's there, something he's been incapable of doing in the NBA. But there's a lot of value there. And guys, you can pass the ball and defend, have a home in the NBA. Brandon Ingram's also intriguing. Out of all the guys they got back in the Lakers trade, this is the guy with the highest ceiling, probably the guy who could turn into an all-NBA type of player. He's got to be a little bit more consistent with his jumper, extend his range out to 3-point land. But overall, this is a guy who can go and get you buckets and be a go-to scorer. I think if New Orleans is really looking to make Zion the centerpiece of the franchise, which of course they are, he's likely the guy to be moved because he requires a lot of shots to go out and get his points. And if he plays well this 1 year or half a season, maybe the Pelicans look to move him at the NBA trade deadline before they've really got to commit to giving him money. So I think with the looming extension that he's going to be up for, that maybe makes him the best candidate to be moved.
And so having said that, everyone listening, Jake, will want to know, all right, what happens next? And whether it's current assets that they've drafted or traded for, whether it's future assets in the way of draft picks or that $31 million in cap space they've got, who do you think they're going after? And it seems like Rim Protector is really going to be at the front of the list. I keep hearing Nikola Vucevic. I don't know if the recent news with the Rockets and Clint Capella is maybe of note to New Orleans, but tell me about what comes next and maybe who you think could be on the front of the list.
Yeah, you know, with free agency starting less than, 48 hours from now, I think is almost exactly 48 now hours from now. You know, that $31 million, $32 million in cap space is really what is coming next for this team. If you're looking to kind of rank the priorities of what they need to bring in, another big man is definitely high up on that list, probably number one. Ideally, you'd like someone who's a stretch big, can shoot the three, as well as give you just enough defense so that Zion's not playing too much of the five early on in his career. A guy like Brook Lopez is probably the dream. I don't know if he's going to end up leaving Milwaukee, but he's a good rebounder. He plays just enough defense, can defend the rim, and then shoots threes so that'll create space for Zion Williamson down low. Teammate, maybe Nikola Mirotic, former Pelican, could be headed back here that way too, or maybe a cheaper option like Dwayne Dedman from the Atlanta Hawks could be a guy that New Orleans looks to bring in. But someone who can defend the rim and shoot threes and who's pretty tall is what they're looking to do. I think they'd also like to add some more wing depth to this roster. Right now you really only have Brandon Ingram there. You've got Solomon Hill who has played, not Solomon Hill, sorry, Etuan Moore who has played that spot before, but he's undersized and he's definitely more of a two guard. So some wing depth I think is very important with really only one guy other than Kenrich Williams who has experience on this roster doing so. You know, I think you could look to get cheap on that way. Maybe a guy like Jared Dudley or a guy like Rudy Gay or Trevor Ariza. David Griffin's looking for culture-bearing veterans is the phrase he likes to use. Guys who help you on the court, but maybe bring more to your team off the court in leadership, in the locker room, in mentorship. And all of those guys definitely fit the bill. I think that's kind of the secondary need for the Pelicans. And then third, you'd like to bring in another true point guard. Maybe it is bringing back Elfrid Payton, who had a pretty good year last year for the Pelicans. Maybe it's just looking to get some cheap guard depth out there. I think that's kind of the order of how they're going to approach things in free agency.
You know, Jake, before we get you out of here, the other thing that I think a lot of people would point toward, how will the rest of free agency and the other big dominoes to fall after Anthony Davis, how might that affect New Orleans? And so as we look at the landscape now, what, Kawhi Leonard, I think Kevin Durant, certainly others, how might that affect who the Pelicans will be in the market for?
You know, honestly, I don't know if it affects them a ton. This isn't really a team that's going to be in the running for any of the big-name free agents. They've been linked to Tobias Harris most recently, a guy who can really go out and get you a lot of points, who can space the court, is a very good three-point shooter, can defend multiple positions, and would fit really well here in New Orleans. But it's not like he's necessarily looking at them as a first option. And frankly, he's been linked to about half the teams in the league right now. So you've got to wonder if that's just his agent trying to drum up some leverage here and make sure he gets a max deal. But, you know, if he was looking at New Orleans number one overall, you know, to be the team he wants to go to, it might affect them then because all of a sudden you're going to start to see some of these teams whiff on their top free agents and then maybe make a run at a guy who's kind of next in line like Tobias Harris. And maybe he waits to see if he can latch on with a title contender. But I don't think that's going to be the case anyway. I think New Orleans is really going to play somewhat conservatively. Maybe go after a guy like Brook Lopez on the opening night of free agency, try and bring him in. And then they're going to be kind of hitting those middle and second tier, you know, third tier free agents. Because just because they have cap space doesn't mean they want to spend it. You've got to kind of bring in the right guys that'll fit the team. And I think it's just none of those top guys. And I think, frankly, since New Orleans is maybe 2 or 3 years away from really being a contender, it hurts them in the market for those guys. So all of the other dominoes can fall, and maybe teams are waiting to see if they get those guys. And it means that the Pelicans can really go after their first and second choice free agents because no one's talking about those guys right now for all the title contenders. And if New Orleans comes in, offers them a contract that makes them happy, well then, yeah, you'll be able to sign them before they become, you know, plan B for other teams.
Just a wealth of knowledge. Jake Madison, used to be with Bourbon Street Shots. These days, doing a great job with podcasting. You got to follow it on Twitter, at Locked On Pels. Go to the website, LockedOnPelicans.com. And, hey, look, we've got a listener question that's come in. So before we part ways, Jake, somebody wants to know how many season tickets the franchise has sold. So I'll ask you that question. And then for my own edification, what's capacity at the Big Blender?
Yeah, so the capacity, I think what they list is like 16.5. I think they can get it up to 18.5, depending on if they're kind of blocking off seats and so on and so forth. The last number I heard reported, and there's some fuzzy math into how this has been counted, is 10,000 season tickets or 10,000 packages. I don't believe that 10,000 full season ticket plans. If you get a half-game plan, I believe you're counted into that 10,000 number. If you get the 12-game plan, I believe you're counted into that number. So what percentage of that is full season tickets? Probably maybe around 5,000 to 6,000, which, frankly, is pretty good for this team overall. So we're happy to see that. And certainly there's more interest in this franchise and the Pelicans than I've ever seen before in my 9 years, 10 years of covering this team. So some fuzzy math in there, but 10,000 sounds really good. I can tell you the first handful of games are going to be a complete sellout. I think the Blender's going to be rocking like you haven't seen for the regular season before.
Really love listening to your podcast, Jake. Thanks for sharing your voice on our program. Always a fun time. Thanks, Jake.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, Ben.
Jake Madison. And a guy that'll tell you, it's on his Twitter page, he is a lookalike for Jose Calderon. You don't believe me? Go Google those two human beings. Trust me when I tell you, it is a true statement. All right, we got to hit our first break of the hour. When we return, our guy RP3, Raymond Parts III, spent a little time today down the bayou at the Manning Passing Academy. I'm going to air out some of that sound, and in 15 minutes, Darren Domang of Lafayette Roofing will rock our airwaves. Bumper to Bumper Sports, we'll be right back in to Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
Let's go! Let's go, baby!
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
After 5 o'clock, right back in with more of the good stuff. Bumper to Bumper Sports, live at Rufino's on the River and always on 103.7 The Game. Great place to celebrate life. I always tell you that. It's also true. Great place to celebrate drink specials as well. In fact, if you show up before the end of the show today, and you got about, let's see here, 75 more minutes to do so, wine by the glass is half off. We've got three full tables right next to us where people are enjoying a good bit of vino from what I could tell, number of bar seats, and just had a fun chat in the last break with a local attorney who was joining us at the bar. His name, well, we'll keep it out of the show, but we'll keep him in Rufino's because he's a lot of fun, and we love having him here. Great to chat with him a little bit. Always fun here, I'm telling you. Come check it out if you haven't had the chance in the last couple of months that we've been here on these Fridays. All right, enough of that. Let's get into the Manning Passing Academy. There's never any news that really breaks from there, but it's always a great chance to catch up with local, regional, and national names. Not just NFL players, but college players. And in that vein, there was a media scrum today, including our own Raymond Parse III, that caught up with LSU signal caller Joe Burrow. Now, these aren't long clips. They're not going to set the world on fire, but let's figure out where he's at between the ears right now. What senior quarterback Joe Burrow of LSU is thinking going into his senior season with the Bayou Bengals. First off, this one's interesting. Burrow, I think you would have suspected this, but he confirms he loves running the football.
I mean, I love doing that. That's just part of football. That's just being a football player. And I don't really look at myself as a quarterback too much. I'm a football player. I'll take a hit. Doesn't really matter to me. I enjoy running the ball.
And we were kind of foretold, weren't we, of this development, not just that he likes to run it, but that he's preparing his body to do that a lot more. Tommy Moffitt, strength and conditioning coordinator. By the way, shout out to Coach Moffitt on that raise. Confirmed today by the LSU Board of Supervisors. Maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago. Mind slips me, but it's somewhere in that vicinity. Coach Moffitt came on this program and said, Joe has been very intentionally bulking up, but it's good weight and it's muscle. And he's trying to pad himself from the blows he's going to take, not just in the pocket, but they want him to run the rock more this year. So none of this should come as a surprise. Let's get more from Joe Burrow. This one is where he's talking about the other Joe B. And it's funny, isn't it? Yesterday's show, Joe Brady said he would run through a wall for Joe Burrow. That's coach talking about player. Let's see if the feeling's mutual. This one is Burrow on Brady.
Brought in a lot of good stuff to add to what we had last year. Coach E has done a great job of listening to not only Coach Joe's opinion, but my opinion as well. Coach E has the final say, and but he's doing a great job of listening to input and actually implementing it.
Always, from everything I've observed in my time covering collegiate sports, and I guess even professional sports, those players, they interact well with young coaches that know what they're doing and seem sharp, are sharp. So it doesn't surprise me in one, you know, iota that a guy like Burrow gravitates toward Brady. What effect will he have? Time will tell. Fair point that was made by Glenn Gilbo, the Daily Advertiser, on yesterday's show. He said everybody is up in arms, excited about what Joe Brady is bringing to the table. He said the guy was a GA up at, I think, Penn State, and then kind of served in a secondary assistant type capacity for the New Orleans Saints. And so Gilbo said, look, he may turn out to do all these things everyone hopes he's going to do, but let's let him do it first. Well, one thing we know is the bond with player and coach seems pretty strong there. One more from Joe Burrow before we hit our halfway point of hour number two. Here, LSU signal caller. Actually, we have two more from Joe Burrow. This one is on training camp for the Tigers and his goals for that period in August.
Continue to build the cohesion that we have as an offense and as a team. I think that's what training camp is really about, getting better. And if you can build that camaraderie and cohesion that really can't be broken, it's going to be tough to beat you.
I told you we had two more. Well, that was one. Here's the final one, and then we'll scamper in to that halfway point break in hour number two. Burrow knows, even in his second year, heading into his second year in Baton Rouge, I should say, he knows that expectations for this purple and gold team are sky high.
We felt like we should have had a better season than we did, and we have a lot of people coming back, a lot more experience. So expectations are high this year.
There you go. That's it from Joe Burrow. We've got more audio that RP3 procured from down the bayou. Today's run at the Manning Passing Academy, and we'll kick that flavor, that sound, your way in the 6 o'clock hour. Going to let you hear from Eli Manning. And the soundbite that you'll want to hear, frankly, the one that I want to hear, Eli Manning on Daniel Jones. First round QB taken by his New York Giants from Duke. So, yeah, we'll get to that in the 6 o'clock hour. We've got Darren Domain coming your way in about 5 minutes. The latest from Lafayette Roofing. And, yeah, they got a lot going on, but they continue to get back to the community. And there are ways that you can get involved. That's what we're going to discuss here within the next 5 minutes. But on our way out of this segment, we're just blessed here. I feel like a recruit, right? A kid that's ready to commit. Hashtag blessed. Thursdays, you know we're at the Tap Room River Ranch. Fridays at Rafina's on the river. And as you probably heard RP3 say this morning, we're going to help to open up the new Billy's Boudin and Cracklins in Carencro in style. RP3 and company will be live from Billy's Boudin in Carencro. Again, you're probably familiar. It's off exit 2 at I-49. That's the Pont de Mouton exit. If you're coming from the south, you're going north on I-49, you get off at Pont de Mouton, it's right there on the left. If you're coming from Sunset, Opelousas, Ville Platte, anywhere in that area, Eunice, and you're coming down 49, you get off Pont de Mouton, it's on your right. And, yeah, Raymond's going to be there letting you get a box of goodness on your way to work. This coming Monday, July 1st, yours truly will be there Tuesday, July 2nd, from 4 to 7 p.m., and I'm working on a couple of very special guests to join me. Again, that's RP3 and Company Monday, B2BS Tuesday, both from the new Billy's Boudin and Cracklins in Cairncrow. All right, we're coming right back, bringing D-Squared with us, Darren Domang. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live at Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
Stop yapping and get back to work.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 1037 The Game.
We go right back into Rufino's on the River. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love, and for the next few moments, joined by Darren Domang of Lafayette Roofing. I look at you and I think of a lot of things, Darren. Right? I see the Cajun shirt on, so I know huge UL fan, UL supporter. But can I call you Mr. 237 Roof? I say it every day for our studios. Is that fair?
I guess you can, Ben. I guess you can.
Look, you guys have so much going on at Lafayette Roofing. And I understand that it's helping people, not just in their time of needs, but peace of mind with homes that they're purchasing, homes that they own. But you're giving back as well in a number of ways. And that's what I wanted to get you on the show today to discuss, the free roof giveaway. And this isn't the first time that Lafayette Roofing has done this. Tell our listeners about it, the thought that goes into it, and then maybe some examples in the past of just how rewarding it's been for your company and this community.
You know, Ben, it truly started whenever we wanted to open up Lafayette Roofing. Me and my partners got together, and we had three things. One, we wanted to give back to the community. Two, we wanted to support the Raging Cajuns. And three, of course, is financial stability for our families and everything else. And it's truly an honor to give back, and I'm telling you, there's not a better feeling in the world than giving back.
Especially in this community.
Oh, Acadiana is amazing. And then it seems the more you give back, the more you receive. It's strictly a karma thing. It truly is.
So the free roof giveaway, who is it designed to help? Who has it helped in the past?
In the past, we've done it for the last 5 years. It started, we called it Roof for Troops. So we decided to give a free roof to a veteran every single year. Well, of course, then that turned into, well, it's Christmas time, and there's a lot of people in need. So we started giving a family in need. And it's not about going public with it or anything else, but the only reason why we're going public with it now is because we do need submissions.
Submissions, yeah.
Submissions. Last year, as we know, they had a lot of things going around and in the nation about police officers. And, you know, we just wanted to show that we support our boys in blue. So last year we actually gave a free roof to a local officer here in Acadiana. So we need submission, guys. Also, the premise this year, we don't just want to serve military. We don't just want to serve a police officer. There are heroes walking down the street and you don't even know. There's people that serve us in Acadiana, serve our children, serve our grandparents, and they don't get thanked for. So we want to do this year. We want to serve those who serve us, and we're looking for military personnel, active or veterans, police officers, first responders, and teachers. If you know somebody, they don't have to be one of those things, but you just know that they spend their life giving back to somebody else, and they're helping the community. We want to help them.
And they may be in need.
They might be in need.
And in that case, you want submissions, you need submissions, and our listeners need to go to the website, Lafayette-Roofing.com. I was surfing it just earlier this morning, preparing for our conversation. It's as easy to find as you can imagine, right? I mean, you've got the toolbar at the top. It's kind of middle. You know what? You and I like baseball. It's right center field.
That's it.
It's right up there on the toolbar.
That's it. Free roof giveaway. It's a simple, and it'll tell us your story. We want to hear it. We want to get some feedback. But also, we realize over the years while doing this, and the submissions we got, man, I can't tell you. Some of them just bring you to tears. But we're not just giving a free roof away. We want to do multiple repairs because there's a lot of people. They might not need a free roof, but they can't afford to repair the missing shingles. And as we know, Acadiana has been devastated by storms lately, and there are a lot of people in need.
And so, again, the website, Lafayette-Roofing.com. Get your submissions in. When's the deadline to submit?
right now, usually we do have a deadline. Usually it's July 4th. We announce it on stage for Uncle Sam's Jam, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But right now, I don't have a deadline because I need submissions, and that's why I'm on the air with you today. I need the public to go out. Everybody knows somebody in need, and we want to hear the story. They don't have to submit. You can submit for them, and that usually works out better, and we can surprise them. And just please, please, if you know anybody, let us know about it. We're here to help, and we want to serve you, Acadiana.
Let's move the needle to something else that's pretty cool. I mentioned you're wearing your red on Friday, the Raging Cajun shirt. This is really cool, in fact. Lafayette Roofing is now the official roofing company for Louisiana Raging Cajun Athletics. So that's about as proud a partner as you can be.
It's a dream come true, Ben. As you know, I'm a diehard Cajuns fan. I'm a UL alum. I'm at the games. You're usually sitting next to me. We're tailgating. I got my RV spot right behind the scoreboard.
You ready for $2 beers?
Oh, can't wait. I did read that. I can't wait.
It's like stealing. It's a beautiful thing, and it'll keep everybody there longer. It's brilliant.
But it's amazing. And to be a proud partner of Louisiana Raging Cajuns, UL, is for our company and for the community, it's amazing. So we're sponsors across all sports. For football, we're doing something special. It's called the Family Fun Zone.
Yes.
So inside, we want to get more people. We want to get people in the stands. So we got fun jumps. I got a 42-foot video game trailer for kids. We have people there willing to watch your kids while you're sitting in the seats enjoying the game. We have a quarterback toss. We have cutouts. We have somebody making balloon animals. I mean, Family Fun Zone, Lafayette Roofing. I mean, come on.
That's pretty cool. A babysitter, a place for them to have fun, and then the family just wins at Cajuns games. Hey, before we get into Uncle Sam's Jam, you amped up, like me, about this Cajuns game in New Orleans. We talked about it with Dr. Brian Maggard earlier. He reminded me, and frankly, shame on me, I kind of forgot this, Darren. That was scheduled before he got here. So during the former administration, they did what was kind of called a home-and-home. With Mississippi State. There was one that was a home game truly in Starkville, and then this is the Cajuns' home game in New Orleans. I know you got to forfeit one at Cajun Field, and that part stinks, but this is a really great opportunity earlier in the year for the fan base and for this football team.
Are you kidding me, Ben? I'm fired up. I actually was one of the few Cajun fans that took the trip to Starkville last year to witness the Raging Cajuns play Mississippi State. We had a blast. We can't wait. But for us to play in the Louisiana Superdome, or the Mercedes Superdome, I'm fired up. I got the thing in the mail today to order tickets. I'm going to be hollering at you, and we're going to be getting a crew together, and we're going to paint the town red 100%.
Oh, we're going to be there. The only question for me, is it going to be before an 11 a.m. kickoff? Is it going to be after the game is over? It's probably going to be both. How do I do that and then do a show likely live from New Orleans that Friday? These are future Ben problems, but there's a lot of future Ben opportunities for fun, and I'm sure future Darren opportunities as well.
No doubt, no doubt. You know, we'll be there Friday. You have a show to do on Saturday.
Show on Friday.
Show on Friday. I apologize. So we'll be there Thursday.
Yeah.
Show on Friday. And good luck, Ben, because it's going to be a rough one, buddy, because you know how we throw down.
It's going to be a great weekend in New Orleans. All right, speaking of throwdowns, Darren, before we let you go, Lafayette Roofing has proudly put on Uncle Sam's Jam, always adjacent to the 4th of July, and this year, in fact, next week, is going to be no exception. So July 3rd, that's Wednesday, 5 until 10, and it's like everything else we've been discussing. Family-friendly, but also a lot of fun. So tell our listeners about what you've done in the past with Uncle Sam's Jam and what it's turned into with some of these great partners you've got throughout Lafayette and Acadiana.
100%, Ben. This is truly the official 4th of July party for downtown Lafayette. We have been doing it for the last 4 years. We have a massive, massive fireworks show, live music. And when I tell you this event's going to pop, literally it's going to pop because this fireworks show is amazing, Ben. You can see the fireworks on the buildings downtown. We're popping them off the top of the parking garage.
Not just music is in filling spots with acts, but, I mean, Chubby Carrier coming this year.
I mean, he's a Grammy winner. Come on, Ben. So we got Chubby Carrier. We got DG and the Freetown Sound. We got DJ Ryan Vay on. Ben, I'm telling you, this is going to be a show. We got food. We got drinks. We got face painting for the kids. 5 to 10, downtown Lafayette. Can't ask for more. And we did it on the third for a reason. That way you can go and have fun with the family.
Yeah.
And you can go and party downtown, but yet enjoy your 4th of July. Eat some hot dogs, hang out with the family and the friends, and you don't have to worry about doing anything else. Sit at your house, have a good time. Come party with us. Uncle Sam's Jam, July 3rd.
We're knocking on wood, but inside we know we're going to have good weather on July 3rd. I know we are.
Hey, rain or shine. Last year it rained. We still had about 4,000 people out there, and the party didn't stop.
So Uncle Sam's Jam this Wednesday. And I mentioned you got a lot of great partners. I know that this is kind of hand-in-hand with social entertainment. Gus and Company, phenomenal. How do I know that? Because at our company, one of our sister stations, 106.3 Radio Lafayette, partnered with social entertainment and you and a lot of folks, Lafayette Roofing, to help put on the Downtown Rising show recently where the Revivalists came to Park International. So I like how people aren't messing around downtown anymore. They're bringing it back.
We're not playing, man. It was a big risk. I partnered up with social entertainment for the Revivalists. More money. It was a stretch. We were scared. I mean, we truly didn't know if Downtown Lafayette can support a major show like this. Turned out incredible. People showed up, man. It was amazing. But, I mean, social entertainment and Lafayette Roofing have been partnered up. I was there when they first started, and look at what came out of it. You have Acadiana Po' Boy Fest, Uncle Sam's Jam. We have Sugar Jam and the Plate Lunch Palooza. The list goes on. And I'm just blessed, and Lafayette Roofing can be a part of it because it's events like this that makes Acadiana great.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Dan, you know, we appreciate the time. I had to twist your arm to get you to come to Rufino's on the River. That, of course, is a joke.
Right.
This place is awesome, man. It's awesome. I know the weather's going to get a little dicey outside here shortly, but, hey, that's why we're inside celebrating life.
And that's right. If you remember, the weather's about to get bad, and if you need a roof, repair, gutters, Lafayette Roofing, we're the ones to call.
237-ROOF, 237-7663. I don't know my wife's birthday, but I will never forget that number, and you shouldn't either. All right, we got to hit a break. Also, don't forget this, Lafayette-Roofing.com. Get your submissions in for the free roof giveaway. Darren, thanks
you,
again,
Katie,
man. I appreciate it, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Ben.
Back here. We'll be right back to wrap up hour number two. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Coming right back to Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
Going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
That is radical, Ruffin. You can't make this stuff up.
He starts jamming right here.
Clint, let it ride out. Little Cliffs of Dover.
That's it. Eric Johnson. He really starts jamming right here. Bam, bam.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
You've heard this.
Yeah. So the question is, as we return, Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game, once more in the 5 o'clock hour. When did our music get so damn good, and why did we choose that? All right, well, after we just had a chat with Darren Domang, Ruffin said, I'm ready to come back in. He said, when you on until? And I told him, we got to get out for the Astros, not too long into the 6 o'clock hour. He said, it's funny you guys carry the Astros. Now tell him why it's funny.
Gordy Rush, and I, back when I first got out of college, before I went to the World League of American Football, we had a radio show. The radio show was called The Sports Grill. It was a lunch show. We took over for Jimmy Ott, actually, and Charles Barbary. It was WIBR in Port Allen. But we did our show from this place called Lenny's. It was the Burks family, Sean Burks and that family, LSU family. And we ate every day over there, and it was fried food. It was just, we gained so much weight and got to have some fun. And Cliffs of Dover, this song was our bump music for the Sports Grill. Oh, what a thrill. We just got to do these poems and had a good time. One semester, and then I went playing the World League and had a good time. And, you know, back in my single days.
And so WIBR was carrying the Strohs back in that day.
Yeah, and the Strohs used to bump us all the time. We'd have a later show because they played a lot of day games, and we had to get out. We'd go for a half hour, 45 minutes, and they would come on. So
yesterday, doing the show from the Tap Room River Ranch, Stros played a 1:10 p.m. start. The show's supposed to start at 4. You never know. So the game ends at about 4:08. Post game show takes us to like 4:22.
Yeah.
How do I know these numbers? Because I'm just waiting every second. When do I go? When do I go? Do I have a guess? What the hell are we doing? And yeah, oh, I know that game.
And they're pretty. Well, at least they're pretty good now. Back then they were terrible. Now you got Alex Bregman and the crew. So, Bregs, man, he's classic.
All star for the second straight.
Yeah, he's gonna be one of the best players ever to play for that organization. He's nobody works harder. You won't outwork Alex Bregman.
Honest question. Did you know that was coming when he was at LSU?
Well, when I first met him, just like with Coach with Maggard and Coach Billy and all that, they come to Rufino's here, and everybody comes here first to meet and greet. Same thing in Baton Rouge. It's where ESPN comes, and Bregman, his parents were Jewish religion. So Richard Lipsy, who's the big gun retailer in Baton Rouge, who's also Jewish, took them out, and I got to meet his dad. Fascinating family. But I met Alex for the first time, and he misplaced his cell phone. I lost it later in the night, and I've never seen anybody that intense looking for a cell phone. I was like, this kid is unbelievable. And I heard the stories about him. I just fell in love with everything about him. And,
high school catcher.
Oh, man. He was – you just saw it in his eyes, you know, the kind of intensity he had. And everything he did is full speed. And he's still as dedicated as a fan of Rufino's, and he comes back. He brings Springer.
Yeah,
the outfielder. He came in, and you know he brings all the big boys.
I'm gonna tell you a George Springer story. I got about 2-3 minutes left in this segment. I've done my show for Minute Maid Park the last 2 years, once a piece, and it's been a thrill. But the cattle call of the interview process is interesting because they open up their locker room 3:30 to 4:20. When my show starts at 4. I got a small window to go snag interviews to get and run on that show that day. So I go 2 years ago, and Springer is more than happy to do it. And I didn't know a lot about him except for watching him on the field. He's got a stutter, but it's not nearly as pronounced as it used to be. But this cat does so much to give back to kids that have speech impediments and problems. He is one of the most genuine human beings that I've spent time around. George Springer's awesome.
Came in the night before the Alabama game this year with Will Harris.
Okay, yeah.
Alex was supposed to come, but he had a big day with some of his old friends. So he had to be on game day the next morning. So he was a no show that night. But Springer was there, and just like you said, he was first class, big boy.
Oh yeah, Will Harris. Good guy too.
The biggest was Rizzo. Man, his hands.
Oh, they brought a cubby in.
Rizzo's hands are – well, actually, he came with Marucci.
Oh, okay.
And his – man.
Which could have been two-thirds of the league. But
I thought I was – because years before that, when Dave DeLucci from Baton Rouge and went to Ole Miss and played, you know, years in the leagues, he brought in the Yankees' first baseman, the big last name. I forgot his name. Anyway, he was sitting at the bar. I met him. And some of my first basemen in the major leagues, their hands are huge, and they look like NFL tight ends.
You know what? I can now see him. I know exactly who you're talking about. It's going to hit me.
It's like his first name is
We go off the air in about 40 seconds of this segment, and about 45 seconds.
I know,
it'll be right there. I can literally see the player that you're talking about. Oh, this is going to kill me. Let's see if your Google is faster than the end of this segment. Right now, you got about 20 seconds in that race. Ben Love alongside Ruffin Roderick. It's not Giambi. I know it's not him, huh? It's nope, it's not him either. We're going to find this. And the good news is, that's why we've got a third hour. We're coming right back at you. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Mark Teixeira, in at the buzzer. Ruffin
got it.
Win. Coming back on 103.7 The Game.
Interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Passing by.
Okay.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
And here we go. Final hour of the day and the week. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports, live and back at Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love, joined by Ruff and Rodri. We're going to let you hear from Eli Manning in our next segment. Some more audio from Raymond Parts III. He was down at the Manning Passing Academy in Thibodeau. Hey, that's future talk. Ruffin, as we come back in, all right, the mood has been set. It's getting a little darker outside. We've got the lights on here in the bar area. I think it's time for a great Friday night.
Yeah, I tell you, this is a fun time. A lot of people on vacation. Not much traffic today. A lot of people are taking some time off and kids out of school and summer camps and all that. So there's a lot of stuff going on. But, man, they got the specials and, dessert features. We got a pastry chef and just so much of Rufino's that they're doing right now is just fantastic. And it's a lot of fun to come in. Like I said, I come in, I don't have anything to worry about. The management team here is first class, second to none. And you don't have a better – the best view I've ever been in at a restaurant with the beautiful the Vermilion on this with the landscaping and everything. It's perfect, and it's a special place.
So we talked in the last segment about your forays into radio over on the West Baton Rouge side of things.
Yeah,
and that was when you guys had the Astros. They weren't terribly good. Now our station, Acadiana Sports Station, has them, and they're really, really good. Have you been to a game? You brought your boy out to Minute Maid?
And Alex Bregman has told me, man, when you come, I'll get you on the batting practice, on the whole deal. And it's just we were supposed to go when LSU was playing BYU in Houston. And it got canceled.
New Orleans.
Got canceled.
That's right.
Postponed in New Orleans. And we couldn't go. And the whole family was going to go. Alex had us all set up. And just so we're going to make a trip for sure. And we're not the biggest baseball fans, not like basketball. I mean, the NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
8 o'clock start for 11 and 8-year-old, and my wife let them stay up till, 11 o'clock midnight. It was crazy. But that's how much they love it. It's a basket, man. They got my wife involved in it. She's a big basketball fan. The Zion thing is over the top with my family. But my 11-year-old son, he wants to go to every game.
Objectively?
But most of their games are school nights.
I'm going to tell you straight up and down. One of the best in-game experiences I've ever had is every time I go to Minute Maid. And so Nolan Ryan's son, Reed, and those guys that run that organization, they put a really, really cool premium on it.
Well, we did take my son to Houston. The Astros weren't in town because we went there for his school function. All he wanted to do was meet James Harden. That's all he wanted to do is go see where the Rockets play. He can care less about Minute Maid. He wanted to go straight to I forgot the name of the building the Rockets play in.
Toyota Center.
That's all he cared about. Unless if the Texans were playing, obviously he's an NFL fan too. So I don't know.
I'm going to get you into a conversation we had on this show a couple weeks back, and basically best sports cities in America, and we get so just provincial in the Southeast, right? We talk about the SEC, and we think of Auburn and Gainesville, and there's some really cool cities in the SEC, but you've done a lot of traveling. Give me yours. I mean, it could be college, could be pro, could be both.
Best sports city?
Sports city.
Chicago, probably.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite cities. The best walking city in America. You can walk anywhere. The square mileage is small when you get inside the city, and it's beautiful. The rivers and the summertime. It's cold in the winter, but summertime is so gorgeous, and the Cubbies are the best. And then you go to Bears games, and you can catch the hockey games are phenomenal. Just the Star Spangled Banner when the guy comes out singing, it's just, it's a special town. They're big on all their. I went to a hockey game when they were in the playoffs.
Wow.
Oh yeah, my buddy took me at first row seats, and just I'm not even a hockey fan. I had best experience. So Chicago by far to me is the best sports town, but I don't know, man. Right now, I think I would like to move to Cleveland for football season. So what the Browns have.
You think they're going to be that good?
I just think.
Or exciting.
I get, look, for me, watching Jarvis Landry and Odell at LSU was so special. Not only did I know both, you know, I played with Odell's father, Odell Sr., and watched him, you know, I knew his mom. I used to stretch with the track girls because they had a great stretch coach. So we go out there. So I knew Heather Van Norman, who was Odell's mom, and she's a good friend. And so they're like, you know, kids I've watched grow up.
Yeah.
And they just have so much fun. I really think they're going to be special together. They're like two kids. They're best friends. They're like brothers. And they're playing together, making millions and millions of dollars. And they got, in my opinion, the best young quarterback competitor as a quarterback as you could find.
And I think he thinks like them. I think
he does. Baker's got they got that playful character about him that they're going to outcompete everybody. I know Freddie Kitchens. Met him in Alabama.
Tell me about him.
He's a great guy. We stayed in the Alabama. So there's a Hilton, I think it is, on Alabama's campus, and it's on like it's where the Alabama team stays. And a few years back, we stayed there. I was with Todd Graves and some friends of mine. I think Brandon Landry was with us, and we were downstairs. And man, this big old guy came by. He's a big man. And somebody says Freddie. I said Freddie Kent, and he just started talking to us. We were the only people there with purple and gold on. And I had some Alabama friends there and stuff, but he came up and just was as nice as can be, but smart and the whole deal. And I don't know if he had gotten a coach in or what he was doing, but he was there. And man, he's jumped up the ladder pretty quick.
Yep.
The head coach at Cleveland is pretty special.
What he did with their offense once they moved to Baker last year and fired the old coach, Hugh Jackson, was phenomenal. There's no question to me why he got an opportunity that he's in right now.
Yeah, he's it's going to be fun, you know. I know you had the controversy with one player.
Is,
but
is Hard Knocks there as well?
No, Hard Knocks is going with Oakland.
Oakland, you're right.
That was a no-brainer with Chucky. Yeah. Harvey Williams called him Chucky. It's classic. I love it. Like the little doll. He looks like him.
Oh, yeah.
Looks just like him. But, and that's, you know, they get him the year before they go to Vegas. That's going to be an interesting little move.
Oh, wow. We're talking about, I don't know about sports cities, but Vegas, obviously, as much fun as you can have traveling outside of the state of Louisiana. What do you think that environment is going to be like with that professional sports franchise?
So many tourists there, and then you got some little cities around it, and it was a fast growing area for a while. Then the real estate crash in 2009 really hit it hard. So you still have a lot there, but most of the people there are in transit. You know, a lot of girls go there to make money and you know, bartending and doing different things. And you got the guys that come in and are showmen, and you got all the show people, and you got all the business people and the accountants and all the stuff with the money. And so you got a lot of people, but most of the people that are there are tourists.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to have a lot of tourists going to games. It's going to be an interesting deal because you don't have – outside of Vegas, it's all desert.
How do you develop an actual loyal fan base?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. They obviously are banking it on it. I mean, there's some teams that were – I think the Chargers were looking at going there, and so Oakland's the first one. And I can understand Oakland, the city of Oakland, and the finances. I mean, the Warriors are moving to San Francisco.
San Fran, that's right.
So for economic reasons and stuff. So, but I don't know, man. That's going to be interesting. I just went to Vegas a few weeks back for a real estate convention, and it's just, again, it's just tourists everywhere. So you're going to have to, you know, I would think a lot of what they're banking on, the hotels and the casinos are going to buy bulk tickets and give them to their VIP players to go to the games. That's what they're going to do.
That's a hell of a model. Might not be inaccurate. Go find their local Ronnie Rance to bring the Sharks
exactly.
in.
Exactly. Let the Sharks go. So, you know, especially the Raiders. I mean, that's going to be fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. And, frankly, I hope they're good. I hope that Gruden returns that thing to prominence. I don't know that I would bet on it, though, while we're talking about Vegas. I'm not sure I'd bet on it.
Yeah. And Vegas has changed a little bit, you know, with legalized gambling in Mississippi. You know, Louisiana turned it down, but it's eventually going to come here.
How long do you think it takes?
A few years. You know, we're always behind the eight ball and all that stuff.
Before marijuana.
Yeah.
I'll bet on that.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, it's a – once we get more and more states legalizing sports gambling, like Mississippi, you just drive down to the coast and do it. So a lot of people are, you know. But, I mean, they bank a lot of it on foreign tourists.
Yeah.
A lot of Asian tourists have a lot of money come in. They're big gamblers, smart gamblers. And so it's going to be interesting. Vegas has changed a little bit. It's, you know, the shows are still great, the energy, the whole deal. But it's some of the hotels and what they're doing with them are fascinating.
I'm going to hit a break here momentarily. And then Eli Manning spoke today at the Manning Passing Academy. We'll let you hear from him. Ruffin, before we hit that break, one more opportunity to talk a little bit of LSU football. I know you said 65 days or so in counting. Anything else on your mind when it comes to that team this year?
Man, I think it's wonderful that Ed Ogeron has reached out to the other universities in the state and they're bonding together, kept Alabama out of the state this year with camps, kept A&M, kept Texas, kept all the other Southland Conference teams from coming in. So he's putting a fence around the state for everybody, not just LSU. He's putting it for the Cajuns. He's putting it for everybody. So it's exciting. And you're going to see some really good talent, you know, here in Lafayette, quarterback position.
It's already starting, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's a good relationship. So what I really like about this LSU team is defense again. I mean, everybody's going to talk about Joe Burrow. The receivers are phenomenal. Let's face it. They did a bang-up job with receivers. They got top notch. But, man, this defense has got some players. This Grant Delpit, I can't wait to watch him play this year. He's a bigger version of Tyrann Mathieu.
Almost unfair to give Dave Aranda this many weapons that can play that many positions.
Yeah.
They say this kid, by the way, has come in from Texas, Marcel Brooks.
Yeah.
It may not happen right away, although I think it will. In the next few years, he'll be in that line of safeties, great safeties. I mean,
and Stingley, from what I hear, everything. And then he's a generational type corner.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Looking forward to next Friday.
Patrick Peterson-esque.
PP7-esque. I like that a lot. All right, Ruffin.
All right,
thanks,
brother,
for doing this again today. Next
awesome,
Friday.
Awesome, man. Can't wait.
We'll be back. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. And we're live from Ravino's on the River on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game. 103.7thegame.com.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with.
Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Right back in, and we're coming down the home stretch. It's a Friday, and I mean a beautiful TGIF type of Friday. B2BS, that's Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game, hanging out at our usual Friday haunt. It's Rufino's on the River. It has been a blast, and we're not done yet. Taking you up to first pitch, Astros and the Seattle Mariners. Actually, we'll do better than that. We'll give you the full length of Astro launch. Robert Ford, Steve Sparks, here in about 20 minutes. And then at 7:10 p.m., live from Minute Maid Park, Wade Miley looks to get those Stros back to winning ways. They've lost two in a row. They've lost 8 of their last 10. It has not been a good stretch. Wade Miley, however, has been a really good free agent acquisition. And you'll recall, he was pretty darn good last year for the Brewers, especially going into the playoffs. The Brew Crew, a game away from crashing the World Series, Wade Miley was more than just serviceable as a starting pitcher. They're going to look for him to help them out tonight and then put an end to some of the woes for the Houston Astros. Yeah, we got rhymes and stuff. We've also, just about all show long, aired out some of the best sound that Raymond Parse III, what a mensch, good guy, went all the way down to Thibodaux, down the bayou, to Nicholls State, where currently the MPA, Manning Passing Academy, is going down. And as I've told you, it's still something that really kind of has a pretty special place in my heart. I was a multi-year Manning Passing Academy camper way back when. I'm old school. I was back at Strawberry Field when that thing was at Hammond. Now it's moved on up by going down south and down the bayou. And I want to make sure we get some time for the other Manning brother, not Cooper, but Eli Manning. He's still playing for the New York Giants, in case you've forgotten. I know they drafted a quarterback. We'll get his thoughts on that momentarily. But first, I want to lead with Eli's thoughts. And yeah, when I was first hanging around the Manning Passing Academy, Eli was just getting to Ole Miss. So again, showing you my age a little bit. Now, I mean, a double-digit year pro. The guy's got a lot of experience, but he still loves giving back to the kids. And so here's what Eli had to say. Working with the young tykes the first day out in Thibodeau this year.
I like to work with the young kids that first day because you see them and they're just raw. They don't really know the terminology. They don't know what a three-step or throwing off plan or hitching up. They don't know these things. You talk them through it, and then all of a sudden Sunday you come out and you say, all right, everybody in the line, give me a three-step working to your left, and boom, they're doing it, and they know what's going on, and you see the improvements in 3 days, and you see them, you know, getting more confident in what's going on, and that's great to see.
All right, that's the first day this year. How about Eli? His thoughts on every year and really what they've been able to build with the Manning Passing Academy, not just a staple any longer in South Louisiana. In Louisiana, this thing's become a mecca, I mean, for quarterbacks and beyond. And here's what Eli looks forward to when he thinks of the MPA on a year-in and year-out basis.
You know, I think it's a number of things. I think, first time it's kind of, each year it's guaranteed. I got 4 days with my dad and my two brothers, with Peyton and Cooper. So, we don't all get together, very often through the course of the year. So I know, for the Passing Academy, we're all, staying in the same dorm room and get to hang out a bunch, which is great, and have a lot of fun. But also, also working with these kids, that's what it's about. I enjoy seeing the excitement of these kids, the eighth graders, and also, just talk with a kid going into his senior year. He's been here 4 years, and he just wanted to say thank you. Thanks, learned so much. So excited to see those kids that are come back every year. That means we're doing something right. That these kids are enjoying this, and also just to meet a lot of these new college kids. It makes watching college football fun for me because for the most part, you turn on the TV on a Saturday afternoon. One of these quarterbacks is going to be on TV playing. So you kind of root for them, and you root for them to go out there and play well.
Eli's one specific memory.
And speaking of college quarterbacks, we know this thing is flooded with them. Already you've heard from LSU signal caller Joe Burrow. Eli spent a little time during the media scrum earlier today discussing with reporters where college quarterbacks are now, 2019, versus when he was in college at the turn of the millennium in Oxford. I'm actually as interested as you are to hear this.
I think the college game is more advanced. I think it starts at the high school game is more advanced. And so a lot of times when these kids are getting into college, they're running a pretty similar offense to what they're running in high school. And I think that's the difference. In high school, our offenses were pretty vanilla. We maybe only threw it 15 to 16 times a game. Now these kids are throwing it 30, 40 times a game. College, the same deal. So I think at all levels, the game has gotten more advanced, and so they're more ready to play at an early age. And you're seeing that, with Trevor Lawrence only as a freshman and winning a national championship. That was kind of hard to do maybe 10, 15 years ago.
All right, that's all Eli looking at this week, its events, and the legacy that is the Manning Passing Academy. Let's get his thoughts looking forward to his New York football Giants, where suddenly they've got some interesting, why don't we say, turnover, right? I mean, they've had it with the GM in the last year and a half. The running back position really been reinvented for their franchise with Saquon Barkley. A new quarterback was drafted quite early in the first round. We'll get to that momentarily. But Eli said, look, when it comes to this season, yeah, I got things like this in the offseason, but really, for my Giants, I'm ready to get going.
Very excited. Excited for this season. I think, as I said earlier, just that second year going into this offense, not only myself, more prepared, but just, the offensive line, the receivers, tight ends, even the coaches, just kind of knowing what the skill set of all our guys are. I think everybody will be more prepared. We'll get off to a faster start and be more successful. So, I've worked hard just to stay in shape, keep the arm strength going, working with our receivers and everybody getting on the same page. So ready to get going.
Finally, one more for the current New York Giants starting quarterback. Here is him talking, presumably, about the future New York Giants starting quarterback. The common denominator, both Eli at Ole Miss, Daniel Jones, who he's about to wax on in this soundbite, at Duke, were coached up by David Cutcliffe, very close friend of the Manning family, and that's been pretty well established. But let's get the thoughts after all. You're a reporter, you got to ask this question, or you're not doing your job. Eli, what do you think about that kid that they drafted in the top 10 this year that, plays your same position?
It's been good. You know, Daniel's a good kid. You know, he's a former camper. I've known him for a while, and you know, he's done a good job. He's, you know, just getting his nose in the book and studying and trying to learn and trying to kind of earn the respect of his teammates, and he's done a good job of doing that. So, you know, it's my job to, you know, do my job as best I can, but to be a good teammate. You know, I've always been great in the quarterback room, helping everybody out, and no different this year with Daniel.
Not bad. Yeah. Sounded off like I think all of us imagine a pro would, and it's been a professional show so far. Great guest, great company. It'll do that for you. And we've got one little miniature segment left. You're a fan of the program, or you just listen a lot. Hopefully you're both. You know that we called this another World's Shortest Segment Audition. Thank you, Houston Astros. But we're right back at it, and we're going to deliver that to you next. So make sure that you stick and stay. A little more Bumper to Bumper Sports on the way at a beautiful place, not only to celebrate life, not only to come out and have a delicious dinner, but hang out by the bar and just enjoy your summer. Yeah, it's Rufino's on the River, and B2BS will be right back on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.